Man, appreciate the invitation to be here tonight. It was my understanding that he preached against everything but burgundy floors, guitars, and pastors named Jeff.
Yeah.
Anyway, y'all let me know if he don't do too well. I'll make sure he gets. I'll make sure he gets to go preach again. So be all right. I preached with him many times in prison, but this was the first time we've been preaching in a church together. So I appreciate Brother Eric and his ministry. We've worked together for many years. I appreciate him, and it does a good work and has a good burden for the Lord and a good burden for the inmates, and appreciate him and appreciate your pastor and his friendship. And I tell you, a preacher can never have too many friends.
Amen.
And you can believe that, because it's too easy to lose them in our day and time. And it's always a joy to have a man that will stand for the Lord and a man that will serve God in spite of. And there's plenty of in spite of out there in our society. And if you don't believe that, then your eyes are closed.
Right.
And you need to open your eyes and get busy and serve the Lord. So your preacher said we'll be standing for your first message, verse of the message tonight. So Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find your place there. We'll look at just a couple of verses here tonight, and then I'll attempt to preach a little while. Somebody told me the record was 9:30 and 8:30 would be fine. I think something like that. I think that's what I heard, but we'll go with that. I got an evangelist friend. Every time he looks at his watch, he'll say, "What time is it?" "Oh, it's just 7 o'clock. And so that's when they start at 7. So, but it won't be that bad tonight. I've not found a message that I wanted to preach more than an hour and a half, and so we'll be all right with that. I did, however, wind up preaching an hour and a half. I'll tell you about that some other time. All right, Hebrews chapter 11 and verses number 6 and verse number 7 tonight. And it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We ask for your blessings upon this time of preaching. I pray that you'd use it, God, to encourage the hearts of your people. And Lord, if there's one here tonight that's lost, I pray that you'd save them tonight, Lord, before it's too late. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I was looking really since Wednesday night when Brother Brown called, and my heart has been stirred concerning this thought about a faith that pleases God. Now, our world is utterly confused about what is faith.
Right.
God introduces faith as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen in our chapter here tonight. The Lord described to us in Romans 10 and verse number 17 that "for then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God."
Yes, amen.
Our world would have you to believe that every person that walks into a house of worship today, regardless of who they are worshiping, that person has faith.
Right.
But the Bible doesn't preach it that way.
That's right.
He tells us that only the word of God is a source of real faith.
Yes.
Therefore, everything else must be a counterfeit.
Yes.
There are undoubtedly counterfeits in our modern time.
Yes.
Paul preached about there being a time that would come when there would be many false Christs, and we have that abundantly throughout our nation and throughout our world. We have some who stood up this morning in suits and ties and preached in full buildings today that didn't a bit more preach the truth of the gospel today than Louis Farrakhan does on any given day of the week.
Amen.
Those of you who do not know who Louis Farrakhan is, he's the leader of that bloody religious Nation of Islam prison gang. Amen. And I'll tell you more about that some other time. And so we understand that only faith comes by and only by the word of God.
Right.
We find those counterfeits who are satisfied in psychological understandings. They're satisfied in their nominal beliefs about the things of the Lord. They're satisfied with their pitiful understanding of the working of God,
right,
and walk around and brag about having some measure of faith.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Well, God reminds us in our text tonight that it is impossible to please Him without faith.
Yes.
And I wonder if there are imposters running around the world today, then what is a faith that pleases God?
Amen.
Now, let me help you tonight. If you're not a student of the Bible, you don't have much faith.
Right.
Because He said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
I'm rather disturbed today by the small amounts of time that people claim to read their Bible.
Right.
I was at a prison in Parchment, Mississippi not long ago, about a year ago, and a rather nice-looking gentleman came up to me, and I was surprised. He's not the kind of fellow that you normally see in prison. I would expect to have seen him in a business somewhere or working in a suit and tie. That's the image that he had, and came up to me, and he said, "Preacher, I've got a problem." I said, "All right, lay it on me." He said, "Well, I'm just not growing as a believer." And usually, as is the answer to many of my questions, my first question is, how much time do you spend reading your Bible? And he goes, "Oh, preacher," he says, "I don't read my Bible at all." I'm sure I laughed on the inside. I did my best to hold it back on the outside. And I said, "Well, if you're not reading your Bible, sir, what do you spend time reading?" "Are you ready for this?" He said, "I've got 27 Joyce Meyer books, and I read them front to back over and over again." Well, I lit into that for about 30 minutes. And I got down to the end, and I said, "How in the world could you accept something from a counterfeit when the truth is right there in front of your face?"
Right.
I said, "I'll tell you why you're not growing as a believer, because you're not spending time with Him, you're spending time with an imposter."
Right.
You find somebody that knows what the truth is, and you try to slip them a fake $100 bill and see what happens.
Right.
"I'll see you next week." That's what would happen.
Right.
But we find that many are quick to believe an imposter because it's not hard, or it doesn't hurt your feelings to believe after an imposter.
Right. Right.
But it's difficult to have real Bible faith. You know why? Because it takes real time to spend time in His Word.
That's right, brother.
You can't slip by with a 2-minute devotional book.
Right. That's right.
If you're giving the Lord 2 minutes of your time, whoop-de-doo.
Right. That's right, brother.
Now, you think the Lord is impressed with 2-minute devotional books?
Right.
I don't think He is.
Right.
You think the Lord is impressed because you got too busy this year and you upgraded to the new 1-minute devotional book?
Right. That's right.
You think that pleased the Lord at all?
Right.
I guess next is the add 30-second button that's on the microwave, and that's what you'll give unto the Lord.
Right.
"Well, if it's enough to heat up my supper, why can't I feed my soul with 30 seconds?
Right. That's it.
Well, I'll be honest with you, you're too full of sin and pride if you think you can get enough out of this book in 2 minutes.
Right.
To think about a book with an author of infinite wisdom, to think that a man or a lady that's as limited as we are can glean even a portion of what we need for a day in 2 minutes while you think mighty high of yourself.
Right. Amen.
Well, I'm not here to preach against you. I just thought I'd throw that out there so I don't get mad at myself. Amen. But God does tell us in verse number 6 that it is impossible. Now, there are a lot of people running around trying to do an impossible task in an impossible manner. But God lays out very plainly to us today that the secret to pleasing the Lord is to do so through faith.
Right. Amen.
And the only manner by which you may increase your faith is personal time in His Word.
Amen.
Now, I appreciate your pastor's preaching, as do you, but your pastor's preaching, or any pastor's preaching, is not enough to sustain us in a world that's controlled by the enemy. What if you got 3 shells issued to you on Sunday morning, and you were fighting a war? I think by midweek you'd want more than those 3 shells.
Right. Amen. Right.
I think if a warrior is issued just a handful of bullets on Sunday morning, how in the world could he sustain himself in the middle of a battle?
Right. Amen.
And you and I are fighting a battle today, and if you don't believe me, then you're asleep.
Right.
And we're fighting a battle, and you need as much spiritual ammunition as you can.
Yes.
Matter of fact, the Lord commands us to put on the whole armor of God.
Amen, brother.
And if you want to please God with the efforts of your life, you begin right here with faith.
Amen, brother.
He said it is impossible to please Him without faith. You know what it tells me? If there's not too many people concerned about pleasing the Lord.
Right. That's it, brother.
They were concerned about pleasing the Lord instead of pleasing themselves.
Yep.
Or pleasing their children. Don't even get me started on that.
Right.
Amen. If y'all brought it up, I'll do my best to be quiet about it.
Yeah.
But we ought not be pleasing others. We ought to be focused on pleasing God. And then we will please those that need, amen, to be pleased.
Yes.
I thought about a few things here. We look at verse number 5, and Enoch, Bible says, by faith, Enoch. Verse number 4, he said, by faith, Abel. Verse number 3, I love, he said, through faith we understand. Boy, that's a tremendous statement, isn't it? There's many things in this world that my finite mind cannot comprehend, but by faith I understand.
Right. Amen, brother.
By faith I see the end from the beginning. By faith I see supply out of nothing. By faith I see satisfaction out of an unsatisfactory world.
Right.
Hey, by faith I'm able to understand what my mind cannot wrap around. By faith I'm able to see and believe that God will make a way when it is impossible.
Amen, brother.
We see over and over throughout our chapter tonight that by faith, by faith, by faith. And can I say that not one person's task in Hebrews chapter 11 was a simple task.
Right, that's it, brother.
There was not one thing that God was given to a person to do in this chapter that was a pleasurable task. As a matter of fact, if you see toward the end, the Bible says in verse number 38 that of whom the world was not worthy, and he was talking about those that had been put to death for the sake of the gospel. And God says the world's not worthy of that crowd. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about meeting those people in heaven. As I was studying some Baptist history on American soil about 2 years ago, I was noticing many of the places where our Baptist forefathers have shed blood so that you and I have a right to assemble tonight and preach. I thought about Obadiah Holmes, and they took that poor man out to the city square and beat him upon his back, and as he laid there upon his hands and upon his knees, and they shredded his back, he stood and said, "You beat me as with roses." Why? Because the hand of God had rested upon him. And a man such as the quality of Obadiah Holmes, the Bible says the world is not worthy. You want to be a person tonight who the world does not deserve you? Then you please God with your faith.
Amen, brother.
That being said, let's look at a few thoughts tonight. Our faith should only be limited to God's ability. Why do we limit God with our understanding? Why do we interrupt God with our understanding? Why do we get in His way with our understanding? If you could understand it, He wouldn't be much of a God now, would He? If God was limited to your intellect, then we'd have to find somebody bigger than Him, because He wouldn't be much bigger than you. Right? If God's not brighter than Bill Gates, then the world has a problem. If God is not greater than Einstein, then this world's in a mess. And we could go on down the list tonight, but God should not be limited to your understanding. Our faith should only be limited by God.
Right.
There's no limits to Him.
Right.
Therefore, our faith should not have a limit.
Right.
I've been led of the Lord to do things over the years that honestly stretched my faith beyond my imagination. But really, it wasn't faith until my imagination was stretched too thin.
Right.
Until I could no longer grasp what God was doing, then my faith was not tested at all.
Right.
If you are comfortable with what's going on in your life, rest assured that faith is not being put to the test.
Right. Amen.
When you're looking at a pile of problems that only God can solve,
yes,
take your hands off, let God do some work.
Yes.
And let your faith grow.
That's right.
Justification and satisfaction, and then we'll be glorified. All of that's by faith.
Amen.
I'm thankful tonight that I serve a God that's far on his worst day. Now, not that he has bad days, but on his worst day is far and infinitely above me. I'm thankful today that I have the privilege. I don't have the right, but I have the privilege to bow my unworthy head and serve and honor him. And I figured out I'm not much, but I can be faithful. Amen?
That's right.
I can live a life that pleases God by faith. You said, preacher, how can you do that? Well, the best thing I can figure out is don't quit.
Right. Amen.
If you're thinking it's time to quit, it's too early to quit. Get over yourself and get back at it. Amen?
That's right.
By the way, a lot of quitting could be avoided if people wouldn't be a baby about stuff.
Right.
Now, Brother Eric didn't come back tonight, so amen. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what he preached on this morning, but I trust it was good stuff. But I'd like to encourage you for a few minutes tonight out of verse number 7. Now, I want you to remember that without faith it is impossible to please God. Well, Noah attempted a great feat by faith because God told Noah to build a boat. Well, Noah didn't live next to the ocean.
Right.
God said it was going to rain, and the people didn't know what rain was.
Right.
It hadn't yet rained on the earth. They had the mist that covered the ground in the morning time.
Right.
But yet we find that Noah did not argue with God when it comes down. You say, how do you know he didn't argue with God? Because he showed up right here, and God says about Noah, he said, by faith.
Yes, right.
Now, if you spend more time arguing with God than you did obeying with God, then God's little book about you is not going to start off with the word by faith.
Right, that's right. That's right.
He's going to start off with by negligence.
Right, that's right.
Or he finally got around to it.
Right.
Or it took me a while to poke and prod and coerce him into doing something for me. That's how your story will write.
Right. Yeah.
But God's story about Noah started off with, I think, two of the most powerful words that could be written about a man when he said, by faith.
That's right.
And I thought about, I don't know, 10 or 12 simple things out of this verse tonight. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. That good enough? And I can count, and your pastor's hungry, so I won't wear you out too bad tonight. I want you to notice the prerequisite of Noah's faith.
Right.
How do we have a pleasing faith tonight? Well, you find that it said that being warned of God. Now, is there not a prerequisite on our, if I can get that word out again, it's going to be a miracle. Is there not a prerequisite on our faith tonight? Are we not been warned of God that he's coming back?
Right.
You say that's not a warning, it's a comfort, and it is. But it's also a warning time that we ought to get busy about serving the Lord and telling others about him.
Amen.
And that's exactly what was going on in verse number 7.
Amen.
And God warned Noah. Now, what did Noah do? Well, he didn't sit around and think this is an impossible task for me and three other men. No. God said simply by faith, no. Now, I want you to understand that everybody in this chapter tonight obeyed the Lord, I believe, without negligence. Now, there was a little bit of interesting thought about verse number 11 about Sarah. Now, we know Sarah laughed at the Lord.
Right.
But she did conceive, and she did bring forth, and she did deliver. And so we understand that she did laugh. But now, wait a minute, it didn't say that she didn't say that the Lord couldn't do it, but I think I'd laugh too if I was 90 years old.
Right.
And the Lord said, you're going to have a child.
Yeah.
Now, think about what Noah was faced with.
Right.
When the Lord warned of the coming judgment, I wonder if it made Noah nervous.
Right.
I don't think it did.
Right.
I wonder if Noah looked at that job and thought, man, that's just too big.
Right.
I don't think it did. I think Noah looked at the job and said, all right, when can I get started?
Right.
Because God was obviously pleased with his efforts in life when he simply said, by faith, Noah. Maybe someday in our life it'll be by faith, Brother Brown. By faith, Brother Dustin. By faith, and insert your name, and simply that we were found faithful.
Right.
Now, why is it important today to be found faithful? Because people are dying and going to hell, and the world cares not.
Right.
Yes.
No man careth for their soul if you and I don't care for their soul.
Right. Yes.
We cannot expect the church down the road to reach them. It's our responsibility to reach them. Well, I don't want to go knock on that door because they do bad things in there. Well, I'll give you a hint. They do bad things behind almost every door.
That's right.
So don't let that stop you.
That's right.
I don't want to go in there and some of them smell. Well, I'll take you to prison with me. Everybody smells in there.
That's right.
Hey, man, that way you can't single one out over the other. I don't want to go down there. That's the other side of the tracks. Bad things happen on the other side of the tracks. Well, I give you some good advice. Everybody in the Bible that Jesus went to lived on the other side of the tracks. He says, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. And the Lord's job was a business of sinners, if we can use that phrase. But Noah was warned of God. God didn't come down and say, by the way, Noah, if you don't mind, I'm going to destroy the world if you'll approve of that.
Right.
He didn't come down and say, I'll destroy the world only if you'll build me a big boat.
Right.
No, he just says, I'm going to destroy the world, and it's up to Noah to decide whether or not he's going to obey.
Right.
Well, the world's going to hell. Are you going to obey the commandment tonight? Are you going to be a man or a lady that'll just live by faith and trust God to make up the difference and go forward and please Him and serve Him? Or are you going to sit at home and have a faith that pleases no one, especially God? By the way, if your faith pleases sinners, you messed up.
Right. That's it, brother.
If sinners are not offended by what comes out of your mouth concerning the gospel, you're not helping them one bit.
That's right. Amen, brother.
If what message you preach to them does not point them to Calvary,
right,
and does not illuminate their sin, then you're not doing a good job.
Amen. That's right,
brother. I was trying to think of who it was. It'll come back to me at 3 in the morning, but it'll be a little late to call. But there was a preacher that here in America, and he back in the, I think, 1800s, and he'd send out young men to preach in little towns and little villages around, and they meet back up, and so he sent them out for a week, and they met back up the following week, and he asked them, he said, well, did anybody get saved? And they said, no. Well, did anybody get mad? And they said, no. And he said, well, you weren't preaching at all then, were you?
Right.
Well, that's the truth of it.
Right.
It's going to do one or the other.
Right.
It'll either offend the sinner or the sinner will get saved.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen.
Of course, it'll offend him and he gets saved. If he's going to get saved, he'll be offended first. But,
right.
But anyways, Noah was warned of God, so we have the prerequisite of a faith that pleases God. But notice, there's a patience of a faith that pleases God. People get ahead of the Lord on a regular basis.
Yes, sir, we
do. And let me tell you, that messed up Paul a couple of times in his journeys, if you hadn't noticed. Every time Paul went to prison, because he got ahead of God.
Right. That's good.
Now, he did come up with 3 books of the Bible while he's in there, but he didn't go there always out of obedience, did he?
Right.
And we need to understand how to have patience in our life of faith, because God does things that are far beyond our understanding and far out of our comfort level. And God does things more abundantly in our life than we can ask or think of without doubt. But do we have faith enough to see it? God's always at work if you'll let Him. The question is, are you looking for what He's doing? Are you looking for a number from a man, so to speak, that says, well, God must be blessing because of this? Are you looking at what God's satisfied with, and that's a life of faith? And I believe you'll see the reward at the end.
Right.
Now, there was a patience because it said he was warned of God of things not seen as yet. And I want you to think about what was going on in Noah's mind. Here he was. He was building a boat. He was witnessing. He was preaching. People told him he was foolish. Is this him and his boys and their wives and his wife? And they were working and building, and no doubt people mocked at him. People spit at him. People laughed at him and said, "You're crazy."
Yes.
Well, I'll be honest with you. If you're going to get busy and serve God, there's going to be people that laugh at you.
Right.
There will be people that mock at you.
Right.
There are going to be people that tell you you're crazy.
Right.
When I left Terminix and became a missionary at Rock of Ages, a man looked at me and said, "They're just inmates. Let them go to hell. It doesn't matter." And I said, "But by the grace of God, I'll see you in prison one day."
Yeah, right.
That's right. By the grace of God, I'd be in prison someday.
Yeah, right.
But he was faithful in his faith. He was patient. I didn't know exactly all the things that God had in store 12 years ago.
Right.
If I did, I probably wouldn't have signed the dotted line.
Right. Yes, sir. Right.
And your pastor probably thinks that on a few Mondays every now and then. What in the world am I doing? I'm just going to sneak out the back door. I'm going to clean out my office. I'm going to go back to that trucking company, and I'm not going to worry about it no more. Every preacher worth his salt quits on Monday morning. Amen. You say, "When's the missionary quit?" At the end of the meeting. Amen. We're not any better. But to have a faith that pleases God, we must understand how to be patient in waiting for God's time. We got one of our missionaries, and he wants to do something so bad he can't stand himself. But he's been told, says, "Look, it's the Lord's will, but it's not the Lord's timing." Be careful about getting ahead of God. Be patient. By the way, if you study your Bible enough, you'll learn how to be patient. You know why? Because God always noticed a way or found a way for somebody to get in trouble that weren't patient with God. But anyway, I'll get off of that for a moment. But then it says he was moved with fear. Notice the prompting of his faith. Now God didn't say, "Would you please?" God didn't say, "When you get time, I want you to build a boat."
Right.
God didn't say, "If you don't have better things to do,
right,
in your spare time, you think you could build a boat? Because when you're good and ready, I'm going to destroy the world."
Right.
Now God says, "Look, I'm going to destroy the world, and here's what I'm going to do. You better have that boat done."
Right.
And that faith, it prompted him to serve the Lord.
Right.
Now notice he was moved with fear. Now, that might be a little hard for you to understand, so let me put it down to you like this. Going out our back door when I was a kid, Dad kept a fresh supply of a 4-foot-long switch off the maple tree in the backyard. What did that switch do? It moved me with fear. That's what that thing did. If I go out and do anything against his commandment, I'm going to get 50 times across my backside. Now, just in case you think Dad wasn't a good whooper, he'd hit the same spot every time. My mother, she'd start in the middle. She might go halfway up your back. She might go halfway down your legs. Dad's going to hit the same spot and raise a 2-inch welt. You could count on it. And it motivated me with fear to do a lot of things right. And people nowadays, they say, "Oh, that's just too hard on kids." Well, I don't know. I'm almost 41. I've been serving the Lord all of my adult life. I don't guess it messed me up too bad.
That's right.
I ministered to a bunch of guys that never did get a good strapping when they were kids.
Right.
And I think it would help them real good.
Maybe, that's right.
I'll line up their mom and daddy, give them a good whooping too.
Right.
Especially the daddy, because he's usually the jerk that run off and left that poor lady to raise that boy by himself.
That's right.
Wouldn't hurt to strap them all. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, it'd do them some good to motivate them with fear.
Amen.
Well, sometimes God has to motivate us with fear because we're too lazy to read His Word.
Amen.
Sometimes if we get our nose in the book, God can give us a heads up on some things.
Amen, brother.
Instead of having to do some things by whooping, we do some things by being willing.
Maybe.
Well, I sure was willing after a good whooping. But if I had good sense, I wouldn't have got whooped to start with.
Right.
I don't know about you. Sometimes God has to prompt you with a good whooping. Has He ever done that to you? He's done it to me a few times. The rest of you just Didn't want to tell me the truth, but that'd be all right. I'll let Brother Eric get a hold of you tomorrow. I'm going to be nice. Amen. And our faith that pleases God is sometimes prompted with fear. Now, we shouldn't walk around cowering about the Lord. I don't believe that's what he means when he said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But if you're a good student of Scripture, you'll understand that there's not a place that the Lord is not. There's not a place that you can go that he's not already there.
Right.
And when you leave that place, he's already at the other place.
Right.
And there's not a place to hide. And while if you're close to the Lord, you're not worried about hiding from him. But what I'm saying is that you're constantly aware of his presence.
Amen, brother.
And if you're a person of faith that pleases the Lord, then you're satisfied at the presence of God.
Right.
You're excited at the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
But we, sometimes we get into areas in our life that we got no business being.
Right.
And in order for the Lord to put us in the right spot, sometimes he has to prompt us with fear.
Right. Amen.
Now, if I was Noah, I'd be scared to death that judgment was coming.
Right.
Because you think Noah didn't see how wicked the world was?
Right.
You and I, do we not see how wicked the world is?
That's right.
Does it not motivate us to reach the lost? Hey, because God's going to bring judgment on that crowd.
Right.
Now, I understand that there's a level of me that gets excited to think that God's going to bring this mess to an end.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm not excited about the Lord coming back. I'm not saying I'm not excited for the day that the Lord kicks a false prophet, the Antichrist, and the devil down into the lake of fire. I'm excited about that.
Amen. Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's not where it ends.
Right.
The Bible says he'll call up the dead and cast them into the lake of fire.
Right.
And those who were not written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire.
Right.
And that's the part I'm not particularly excited about. And you and I ought to be doing everything that we can, if nothing else, motivated out of fear for what's going to happen to the next fellow. That we ought to have a faith that pleases God. Well, there's something else that we might notice here. And it says he prepared an ark. A faith that pleases God is a faith out of preparation. Can I revert back to the understanding of being a student of Scripture? So many times people in our modern society have taken the effectiveness out of the Word of God. You say, how so? Well, the devil started something back in the Garden of Eden when he went to Eve and he said, surely hath God said.
Right.
The very first thing that that the devil did against God was he tried to make Eve doubt God's word.
Right.
You think he's not doing the same thing now?
Right.
Now, can I help you notice something tonight? You know, you don't have a preacher who's an NIV only man. You ever thought, you hadn't found, oh, I'm an ESV only guy.
Right.
I'm an ASV only.
Right.
That's all there is to it. No, there's only two crowds. You're either a King James man or you're anything goes.
Right. That's it, brother.
They can't figure out which one of that pile of mess is better than the other one.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
Well, maybe this one was better than the other one. Hey, I got good news for all of them. If they burn all that garbage and get them a Bible, they wouldn't have problems with all that
stuff.
Right.
Right.
And we ought to be prepared to have a life of faith, and you can't do that with a junk Bible.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, now your preacher would be glad to tell you why they're all junk Bibles, but I told you I'd get you out before midnight tonight, and so we don't have all that time. But he prepared. When God said, look, I'm bringing judgment, Noah got to work.
Yeah.
He prepared an ark. Now, you don't just wake up in the morning and say, hey, well, I'm going to build me the biggest boat the world's ever seen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of preparation that goes into building a 450-foot-long boat. You go north of Lexington, Kentucky, you can go see a 450-long boat. They got just about done. Should be done this summer with the Ark Experience replica. And I'm wondering, hey, it took months and months and months of planning to build that. Can you imagine waking up one morning, God says, I want you to build a boat.
Yes.
All right, let me start with my blue. Oh, no, here they are.
Right.
And God just laid out the blueprints for you. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Right.
And you know, sometimes I wouldn't mind living in the Old Testament. It'd be amazing to see some of the things that God did. But notice that when God allowed Noah to please him through faith, he did it through preparation.
Right. That's it, brother.
You don't just serve the Lord by accident.
Right. That's it.
You have to make up your mind that you're going to serve God, love it or lump it.
Right.
You're going to serve God through thick and thin,
right,
through the easy times and through the hard times,
right,
through the time of supply and through the time of lean. And you're going to serve God whether you like it or not. Hey, there's days I don't want to serve God.
Right. Right.
There's days that my flesh don't want to get up and go.
Right.
There's some days my flesh can't get up and go.
Right.
But the spirit side says, get out and get it done anyway.
Right. That's it, brother. That's it.
And the measure of your faith is tested by when you go when it ain't easy to go.
Right.
Our pastor was telling us that he had to go down to Honduras and he works with a mission group there, and they had something to graduation for the high school and the Bible college, and so he had been invited to come down and preach, and so he said, set to leave on Monday morning. He said, and Friday night, he said, I must have got a hold of something that wasn't right because Saturday was food poisoning day. You know what that means. He said, and Sunday was food poisoning day. And he said, Monday wasn't looking too much better. And he said, I almost picked up the phone and asked somebody to go in my place. He said, but the Lord said, go. And he said, Lord, I'm in pain. He says, I can't stand to move. I can't stand to buckle my belt. I can't stand to bend. I can't stand to breathe. God said to go. And so he got his suitcase and he got in his truck and he drove to the airport. And he said, buckling my seatbelt was painful. He said, every bump on the road, and you've been around Chattanooga, you know these bumpy roads. He said, every bump was painful. He said, I got on the airplane and buckled that seatbelt. He said, that hurt. He said, the takeoff was painful. He said, the turbulence was painful. He said, the landing was awful.
Yeah.
He said, and I got my bag and took a 3-hour bus ride on a rutted road. He said, that was miserable. He said, I got my bag and I went down to my room. And he said, when I crossed over the threshold, the pain went away. And God said, I just wanted you to serve me.
That's right.
I'm saying it don't always look convenient.
Right. Yes, sir.
But the payoff is well worth it. I've never understood everywhere God wanted me to go, but before it's over, I'll start to see why the Lord wanted me there. And it comes by preparation. We don't serve the Lord out of a half-baked attitude. We serve the Lord with diligence. God will reward diligence in serving Him. And that's, we understand that because He finished His boat. And so it was a preparing, but notice the power of his faith. It says he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. God rewarded that preparation with the salvation physically of his household.
Right.
You say, I don't know where the Lord's taking me with this. You'd be amazed at who gets saved.
Right.
I remember about 8 years ago, I preached my grandmother's funeral. And I've got some family members just like you do that are heathens and needed to be saved. And one of my cousin's daughter was married to such a heathen, and he since kind of reverted a little bit to his heathenism. And so anyways, if you understood his family background, you'd be all right with it. But anyway, at the funeral, there he was. And I was preaching, and I let him have it. And when it got done, and you know, we shook hands with everybody and we went to the graveside and had the things there and went on. Well, I didn't know why in the world the Lord wanted me to preach that funeral, but anyways, that was in July. Come December, we get a phone call. And that Micah's husband woke her up late up into the night and said, I can't stand it no more. Said, ever since that preacher preached back in July, the Lord's been doing something to me and I've just got to get it settled. And he says, I need to be saved.
Amen.
And so 5 months after her funeral, he got saved.
Amen.
And I didn't know why. I wasn't particularly excited about preaching, except for the fact I got to preach to some lost family members in a captive audience type setting. And but there, 5 months later, I found out why the Lord wanted that done.
Yes.
And so understand that there's a power in having a life of faith. You say, when's the payoff going to come? Well, that's up to the Lord. And you just let the Lord handle that. Don't get ahead of it, because you'll get dissatisfied and you'll get out of the Lord's will. And well, anyways, look at Tuborn. I'm done. He said, notice, by the which he condemned the world. And I don't believe this is the part that excited Noah too much. When he got into the ark and all the animals and all his family and God shut the door, I don't think he shouted a hallelujah moment, because he knew what was coming.
Yeah.
As much as we are excited about the Lord's return, we still know what's coming out.
Right. Yes.
And that is the Lord's judgment.
Right.
And so we see that by his faith, we understand there was a proclamation. And that proclamation was a condemnation to those that would not enter into the ark.
Right.
Now, we tell a lot of people about the Lord, and a lot of people think we're foolish. Yeah. And a lot of people tell us we're wasting their time. And we have a lot of people that say, move on to somebody else. But you just never know when that message is going to get a hold of it.
Right.
I'll give you a good example. There's a fella over in North Mississippi by the name of Bill Berry. Bill Berry was a machinist for many years, and he said somebody handed him a gospel tract. He said, I was a lost man. He's in his 20s or maybe even his early 30s. I can't remember. He said, I just, out of politeness, just stuck it in my pocket. He said, I got home and I laid it down on my dresser. He said, and every now and then, he said, I'd go by and I'd see that thing and I'd pick it up and read it and I'd put it back down. He said, one day I picked it up and read it and I put it in my pocket. He said, and I went to work and I pulled it out and read it and pulled it out and read it and pulled it out and read it. He said, that thing began to get a hold of me. He said, and I read that thing, carried it around for I forget how many days, and the Lord began to work on his heart. He said, by now I'd forgotten who'd given me the tract. He said, but there I was, he said, at work, and I bowed my head and I asked the Lord to save me because of the power of the proclamation of the faith of one man to hand him a gospel tract. You never can tell how the Lord's going to work.
That's right.
So Bill Berry approached me one day. He said, preacher, I can hand out tracts.
Right.
He said, I can't preach. He said, I can't sing very well. He will be singing for it. He said, but I can hand out tracts.
Right.
I said, praise the Lord, I'll give you a place to hand out some tracts. And he does.
Amen.
There's a proclamation. Then look at lastly today. He said, and he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Can we say there's a provision of faith? There's a reward coming. The Bible tells us it's far beyond our imagination. I can only begin to let pass through my mind what God has in store for those of us that love Him. I can only imagine the splendor of heaven. I can only imagine the joy of the presence of God. I can only imagine a place without sin.
Right.
I can only imagine a place without my old flesh. I can only imagine a place that's out of the influence of the devil.
Right.
I can only imagine the wonder of that place. And God says it's He became an heir of the righteousness. Now, what was He talking about? That Jesus was going to come and die for His sin.
Amen.
That He wouldn't need a physical ark, that He would receive the spiritual work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was by faith.
Amen.
You may not have anything to offer the Lord, and I don't have anything more to offer than you do. But I can do what I can do by faith.
Amen. Yes.
I can't do everything. I can't do what Pastor Brown does. I couldn't do it. I'd quit before Monday morning. And I couldn't do what Dr. Ellis does. I for sure couldn't do what Brother Eric does. That's a juvenile prison. I'd rub a knot on them boys' heads. I'm telling you what, I couldn't take it. And I'm saying that there's a place that all of us can serve.
Right.
That argument came up with Paul in the church of Corinth. And he was talking about the parts of the body. You know, my youngest child absolutely cannot stand feet, but she sure would hate to not have one. That foot's important. Those fingers are important. I don't know what the appendix does, but it's got to be important. It's in there. I mean, most of us still got one. And so on and so forth. And you might think it to be an insignificant part of the body, but God needs it for something. You might say, I can't do a whole lot, but you can do something. I had an inmate tell me one day, he said, well, he said, being in here, all I can do is pray and witness. I said, what do you mean all you can do is pray and witness? He said, well, that's not much of an influence. I said, except for the fellow that gets saved. I said, and except for the ones that you pray for, that God does something in their life. I said, don't ever think that that's all you can do. I said, that's probably the greatest work of what you can do. To find someone that'll, by faith, spend time upon their knees on behalf of somebody else. And leaving the work up to God.
Right.
You can't tell me that's not an important work.
That's right.
And we know that the witness is an important work.
Amen.
And if for no other reason, to have a faith that pleases God, we can do so because of the promise.
Right.
Don't get discouraged in that terrible world that we have out there.
Amen.
Don't let it get you down. Hey, if nothing else, Jesus is coming soon.
Right.
And I've never found a thing better to do than serve the Lord.
Amen.
Yes. I've never been dissatisfied in serving Him.
Amen.
Why don't you let your life tonight become a life of a faith that pleases God?
Amen.
Can we do that today? Let's all stand. Preacher, would you come? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy. I pray, Lord, you'd work now in this time of invitation when asking in Jesus' name. Amen.